Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Okay, we're live on the radio, David. I was just admiring the fact that you brought in notes in a leather-bound journal. Do you need those headphones? Because it looks like you're uncomfortable.
I don't know, but no, I'm just trying to
fix the microphone if you want.
Hello, Oliver. Testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Broadcasting live in Dublin.
This is going well.
Jesus Christ.
Is that okay
like that? Okay.
You're wearing headphones over a hat. That just looks all wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't work in radio. Just go on, give us
a try. David McSavage is heading out on the road for a new comedy tour. He's here in studio. This will act as a warning for Taste and Decency, by the way, the fact that the stand-up tour is called The Occasional Ride. Okay, so that's due warning there. How are you doing? Did you have a Christmas? Do you celebrate Christmas? your fantasy world, I presume.
Well, first of all, sorry, I'm trying to adjust the microphone. I think it's okay.
It's very low.
Okay, I'm doing it
for you.
No, don't. Stay where you are.
Lift it up a little bit.
No, thank you for allowing.
It's muffled there now. There we go. There you are.
Thank you. Okay.
Christmas, David.
It's so stressful. It feels like Christmas right now with you. This is exactly what it feels like. It feels like arriving to my, parents' house and the tension in the air. Like, I'm trying to adjust the microphone. And look at you. You're going like, would you just adjust the... I've never been here before, Oliver.
How are you? That's not true. You've been.
Oh, yeah. That's right. When they allowed me to be.
You've had four series of a comedy.
Series. By the way, I was doing an Oliver Callan refresher course yesterday.
Oh, yeah, why would you do that? I'm doing that on you.
Well, just because, But I have to say, that Geldof impression is outrageous. It's incredible because I actually did get the chance to interview him and I hung out with him and I went to his house and he's some dude. We went to the same school anyway. But like,
did you?
Yeah, Blackrock College.
Well, not at the same time. He'd be much older.
He would be much older. I start wanting to do. Do you do Pat Kenny?
Of course, everyone does it after you've started.
Pat.
But you had the sort of
Pat pauses to create dramatic tension.
I like his
to compensate for not having charisma.
Yeah.
I love Pat Kenny, by the way. I just want to put that in.
That's the Latin of the word. A great friend of yours, Pat, over the years. Is it fair to say, David?
David, penetration. I don't know. It's just a word. It's a word, folks. Don't be afraid. It's just a word. Your reaction
to
it.
We're not afraid of you. We're different now.
Can you just do a little? I know. I can you just talk like Geldof for a second?
Well, I don't want to do Geldof because you're here to perform. So why should I bloody be performing when you're the bloody comedian here? I'm here doing questions, and you're getting me doing this stupid thing now.
Where
There's
is
no
that?
Dignity in this job.
Yeah, I'd love you to teach
There's
me.
No
to
effing
do.
Dignity.
So good, so good.
I think you just kind of you have to sag into it. And then I just hate everything that's going on.
So, Bob Geldof, how come you're so good at business?
Stupid hair. I hate every bit of it.
Yeah.
Make third world poverty history. Make my hair history. It still won't fall out no matter how hard I tried.
I was thinking of going to Turkey to get, because at the top of my hair, I'm losing hair.
I can't
hair.
Tell with the hat. I don't recommend
anyway, at the top,
I have loads of hair. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have that thick, thwacky of hair.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I do.
I'm suspicious of Irish men with very, very strong hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like they're not one of us, really, are they?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just agreeing. I'm going along with what you're saying.
Come here. Let's do an interview.
Come here, will you? Sorry. Calm down, Oliver.
You have your children now in showbiz as well. Oh God, I went past there. I actually went back getting. Your children are in show business too with you.
Oh, you mean what? Because I do a podcast.
You do a podcast with them? You have a lot of showbiz now.
Is it? Anyway, yeah, I do a podcast with my ex-wife,
Hannah.
And Hannah, and my two sons, Jack and Daniel. And the podcast is called And That's Why We're Not Together. And but actually, it feels like, God forgive me, it feels like almost like a second chance to be a good dad or something, because I edit the podcast and it highlights the fact that I am a very bad listener, terrible listener and a terrible interviewer. And I've had guests on the show and I look back at it while editing and I can see somebody, they might be saying something very interesting, and I'll be desperate to interrupt with something not nowhere near as interesting. And you're just looking at yourself as a third person, and you're shocked, shocked about it. As I'm even saying it to you now, I'm getting nervous in my belly thinking about how narcissistic I am. So it's a good kind of therapy. It's good therapy.
Are you saying that you chat to your children on the podcast, but it's only when you listen back to it you actually hear them?
Yeah.
For the first time.
I know. Amazing. There you go. But I feel, you see, I'm speaking authentically and it just feels very uncomfortable.
Oh, you're good at this. You're good at it.
Good at speaking.
What have you learned about your kids then when you listen back to the podcast and you actually hear them?
Such a horrible question. Yeah. And so what have you learned? I've learned that I don't like them. I don't, they bother me. No, I've learned, how articulate and smart they are. You know what I mean? Because, a lot of the times I'm not listening to people. It's really terrible. But anyway, I'm becoming better. I mean, I'm becoming a better version of myself. You know, I'm nearly 60, Oliver. And the horrifying...
Are you?
Thank you, darling.
You don't look it at all.
You don't. How old are you? 12.
Despite
you look
all
like
of
16.
Christ. 45.
You 45?
45, yeah.
Would you get out of here? But
round faces, you know,
yeah,
they don't wrinkle.
No, but the thing is, as you get older, you think, is there anything decent? Is there anything good about getting older?
Yeah.
And you'd just hope, God, you'd hope you'd get a bit of wisdom, you know. You'd hope you get wiser. And I hope I am. I'm trying, but then sometimes I feel like I'm not. But in this regard, you know, doing the podcast with my kids, meeting them every week, working with my sons, that feels very good, and I'm very grateful. Okay, Oliver, happy now?
What?
You know what I mean? Happy now with your intrusive, you know, piercing questions. So what?
60. When are you 60?
I'm 60 on the 5th of February. I do know the date, Oliver. Why are you talking to me like you're a psychiatric nurse? You are, that's right. And Davis, do you know the date of your birthday? And yeah. What's going on? They allowed you back on the radio station. I don't want to be here, Oliver. It was just your researcher, Dave, wanted me on because he's friends with my road manager. I like you. Bob Geldof, yeah, give us your money.
You're not planning anything then for your 60th, by the sounds of it, if it's on the 5th of February.
No, Oliver, honestly, I'm in denial of it a little bit.
Have you spent
I don't want to celebrate the fact that I'm getting close to death. You know what I mean? I'm becoming less attractive to the women that I would like to be with.
Dr. Maureen Gaffney, who knows things about aging, says the 60s are the happiest time of anyone's life. So it's all ahead of you.
Yeah, anything goes. Come on, let's play, you know, bowling. I don't know, is it? Are they the happiest time?
It's going to be the happiest time, yeah. Because now you've matured, you're listening to your children for the first time, even though they're in their 20s. You know, it's going to be a wonderful future.
My God, you're so judgmental. I opened up to you and just bashed me over the head with, I was being vulnerable. God.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, God.
Let's have a look at other questions here for you. You've told a researcher you have a gym that's in your studio or your living room, which is also a studio and a gym. Is that all the one place?
Yeah, I think actually, as I was explaining to your researcher, that my room is half gym, half podcast studio. That's why I'm probably not in a relationship, you know what I mean? Because the name of the show is The Occasional Ride, self-explanatory. We don't need to be, you know. But I think also in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say the first thing an alcoholic has to realise, Oliver, okay, is that our inability to form a truly loving partnership with another human being. So I think basically I find people quite annoying. Now, I'm exaggerating a bit, and I'm not sure what I'm saying is true, but I'm just saying it to see what it sounds like coming out of my mouth, which is, you know, so. But I do get annoyed. Like, I remember I was with a girl there a few weeks ago, right? Went into the kitchen, came back out, and then she greeted me as I came back from the kitchen as if she hadn't seen me for... And she made this sound. She went like in a cutesy way. She went, "Hi," like that. She just went, "Hi," and I just thought I never want to see this woman again.
I think her pitch was kind of saying the same thing, wasn't it?
What?
Hi. Was it kind of I'm leaving now? I'm assuming.
Okay, very good, Oliver. Yeah, I think she was trying to be all cutesy or whatever. But anyway, what I'm saying is I have very low threshold, and I'm very people are annoying.
It's unfortunate as a comedian who has to encourage people to come and watch you that you find humans annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I like people, but in short doses. Yeah.
So how long is,
but
how long
why,
is the gig?
How is it? Why do you? Why is it now turned into a courtroom? And
not
you're
a
trying
courtroom.
To. You're trying to.
Come here, the whole point I was asking was: do you do? You obviously have the gym. Do you use it? Because comedians, we don't.
I know, but this is a free range conversation, and
comedians
I've changed.
Of our generation, we're not kind of seen as people who go weight training and things like that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, to even feel like you're young enough that you feel okay and you don't have to do any sort of exercise, but I'm at the age now just to feel normal. I actually work out 3 times a week.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Strength and conditioning. What are you doing? Any words attached to the.
Yeah. Have you ever done it?
I have. I've done a bit of it, yeah.
Have you?
I hate running and kind of the cardio, whatever they call that. That's. Heart pumping, you're in
you don't
pain.
So you don't like exercise?
Not a huge fan. I've found bits and pieces I enjoy now.
Bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find the old squats are very good, aren't they? Once you build up the strength.
You see, you don't sound like you're interested at all. But you see, I was like you. I actually have not come on this show to convince you, Oliver, to get into exercise. But I hated it, and I still do, but I have an actual... personal trainer coming to the house 3 times a week.
Yeah.
So it's happening whether I like it or not.
So you're not out running.
And I'm alcoholic. I hate it. My default position is to do nothing, to eat biscuits, to dribble and watch Netflix, no different to anyone else. And but it's very counterintuitive. You're doing these, all the worst ones are the squats. They are horrible. I can see you almost wanting to go to sleep even saying the word.
No, I'm very excited about squats.
Yeah.
Everyone should do them because
the exact opposite is what your face is saying. Okay, so the thing is,
maybe
so
you're not good at reading people.
No, I am very good at reading people, and people are annoying, and I love them at the same time. Uh-huh. So listen, here's the thing: it's awful, but you do feel slightly better after doing it.
You do, and you're not making those sounds getting out of a chair.
Yeah, the creaking and the
reaching for things to help you get out with it.
Yeah, so
you're in good enough shape, and you've been sober how long?
I've been sober since 2003. But I did have a slip in 2014.
Yeah,
went to the Camden Court Hotel. Can't believe I'm talking about this, Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a slip. And it was a dull, and but the slip went on for 8 months.
Obviously, they wouldn't have known that you had a problem. It went on for 8 months.
Oh yeah. In other words, you had to mention that the Camden Court Hotel aren't supporting people, alcoholics having sex. Of course, they wouldn't have known. Sorry, Oliver. I don't even know you, and I don't know what our dynamic is. But I think you're great. Okay. So anyway, look, I went into the Camden Court Hotel. I hadn't had a drink for 9 years, Oliver. Do you drink?
I do.
Hmm. It was like a religious experience, a positive religious experience. It was incredible.
That first drink.
Oh, my God. Just that sense of well-being, the warmth going inside and just the love for your fellow man. So it was amazing, but it lasts for 8 months. Anyway, I haven't had a drink ostensibly for nearly 20 years.
Usually I say well done, but I'm afraid of your reaction.
Well done. No, I'm an alcoholic. I can drink, but it doesn't go well.
Doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing experience, and then it was terrible, so you had to stop again. Basically, isn't it? Is that what it is? 2003, though, that's a huge long time. Someone is actually asking a question here, David, so judge this person instead of me.
Are you judging me,
You find people annoying.
You're judging me, Oliver.
This is a text that says, you've said you find people annoying. What about when you were doing your street performing? That's very public facing. Did you enjoy it at the time? Do you miss it now?
Well, I think I did the street performing for a little bit too long. But it was good, and I sustained a lifestyle. And I mean, when I first started street performing, you know, because up until that point, I'd done all kinds of jobs and very anti-authoritarian, and I kept on getting fired. So it allowed me to sustain a lifestyle. So I was really happy that I was able to work and not have to, you know, just Anyway, but I think I did it. I did it for a little bit longer than I should have.
How long would you have done it for?
Well, Garda, how long have you been doing the radio show? I'd say I did it for over 20 years. Yeah, I did it for too long.
Wow.
I got into so many fights as well. I got arrested in so many different countries. Got arrested in Tokyo, Germany, Australia, Denmark, Ireland.
Because you would follow the person who wasn't stopping to watch, which was good.
Yeah.
That was the fun of it, where it could go horribly wrong.
Yeah,
did you use it for content for your live shows indoors?
No.
Controlled, confined spaces?
No. I was just exclusively performing as a street performer. I find it very difficult to write new material. So I'd just be repeating the same jokes again and again on the street, but making it look like it was spontaneous. But the good thing is, because you're on the street, you have just a different crowd walking by all the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, but I did develop some skills, Oliver. Have you ever thought about being a guard? Have you?
It was unique.
Have you ever thought about being a guard?
No,
you'd be a great
honestly,
guard.
No, I didn't. No, never have.
You do have a detective energy about you. Like you, I'm looking at you, and you're.
I wouldn't have passed the physical test.
You reckon you figured me out? So you do. You have that look. I feel guilty sitting in front of you, Oliver.
I haven't a clue of who you are, what you're about.
You do know exactly what I'm thinking. It's amazing. That's a skill. You're very interesting.
I was really fascinated, and I watched quite a lot of the stuff you did when you went to Ukraine and spoke to Ukrainians there. And it was really early on in the war and the invasion. Was it like 2 months in?
It's hard. Yeah, 2 months in. It's hard to convey the scale. Yeah, the scale of the devastation. You know, you see people in these war-torn countries and they are able to sort of eloquently sort of convey what's happened. But I found it's hard to explain. The country is so vast and the way the Russian army came in and just, destroyed things with artillery, just people's houses, and they just targeted people's houses. So I'd never seen anything like it. But what blew me away, though, was the Ukrainians themselves. Mm. I mean, they're the wrong people to mess with. They're tough, you know, really smart. And it's extraordinary that they've put up such a fight against the Russians.
You were doing gigs in basements, in venues.
Oh, yeah. No,
I
was raising money, for the effort, the war effort for the Ukrainians. But there was an incredible spirit there. Yeah.
Was it difficult to get in?
It was very difficult to get in. And also, you see, my kids are half Polish, so that's on the border with Ukraine. And historically, the Russians have done terrible things to the Polish.
They've always been telling us, watch those fellas. Which is why they've taken in so many Ukrainians, the Polish, compared to every other country in Europe. How long were you in Ukraine then? Because you toured around quite a bit, didn't you?
I was there for, I think, 10 days.
And there was
one town called Mushun outside of Kiev. And I guess, I've never seen such destruction on such a scale. Uh-huh. I mean, you walk around a town, you see one derelict house or something. But you're just looking everywhere you go. Everything's bombed. I'd never seen... Everything was destroyed. I'd never seen anything like it.
None of us have.
Yeah.
Is your view still the same, even though that's 4 years, because the world has kind of shifted a little bit, less sympathetic towards Ukraine, sort of?
I think people are just sort of war weary. And then just the constant drip feed of, disinformation from Russia is very effective. And people are very, compliant, compliable, influenced, easily influenced.
Yeah.
People are,
distraction economy, they call it. Get distracted all the time.
Yeah. So, no, I'm very much on the side of the Ukrainians. And the very good-looking women as well. Thank you. Sorry.
So you're an older man now, as you've been telling us. But you're not, as the show suggests, you're not looking for a strong, long relationship.
Well, I don't think I'm fit.
That's very honest.
I'm not compatible. I mean, I'm not... So that's kind of just, occasional.
You're not looking for the regular ride. You're looking for an occasional one.
Yeah. It just feels a bit weird talking to you. It's in this context about me. There it is.
Radio studios are weird.
What?
They're weird places, aren't they? There's people behind the glass looking at us. That's probably why you feel like you're in a cop scenario.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
There's an agent behind the window.
Aidan, is it going okay? Or no, no. Honestly, be honest.
Who's
my,
that? Getting,
that's my road manager.
That's your road manager. Oh, you know, it's good that you brought a manager with you.
Yeah,
see how mature you are now.
Do you know, I did a gig in the Purdy Kitchen a few nights ago, and it didn't go well because I was doing my own support. Do you ever do? Do you gig? Don't you?
I have. Something? Yeah, I'm dying to do it again. I'm trying to figure out when I'll get the time.
Well,
this man here, will do it.
Aidan Killian, will sort you out. No, he's very good at organising gigs. But anyway, the gig didn't go that great, and I was saying to him, you know, how did the gig go? And he said, "Oh, listen, you've done better gigs." This is him.
I'm saying,
don't be saying that, Aidan. I'm just come off stage, mate. Just say to me, you did
vulnerable
great
at that moment.
I was vulnerable with that moment.
You wanted a bit of kind of a bit of a lift, and he says, "Not great."
And then he says, "Well, at least no one walked out." And I'm like, "Is that my positive critique?"
Put that on the poster.
At least no one walked out. How are you? Do you kick yourself after a bad gig? Not that you've ever done a bad gig.
Even after the show, sure, I'd do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're actually on stage tonight, aren't you?
I am Detective Sergeant.
He's got his notes.
No, I do have my notes, Oliver. I'm playing tonight in the Kilkenny Set Theatre.
That's a nice theatre, Langton's.
Is it? Yes, it is.
It is. You know it well. You're in a million times.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, although I never played in the Kilkenny Cat Laughs because they didn't want me to play there. Okay, tonight's Set Theatre, and then Set Theatre, and I think we've got, like, you know, there's always tickets left, let's be honest. You know, I'm not that
nobody
popular.
Ever says that. Last few remaining.
Yeah, no, you know, I don't seem to be that popular in Kilkenny. It's weird, and, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know what it is.
I think
I've been very critical of hurling.
Really,
I've been
selling them.
I've been critical of hurling.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I was tortured, like sitting in the back seats of cars listening to hurling commentary. And Mickey Batty Murphy, you know, eating mud or whatever they were talking about. And so, okay, there's that. That was an attempt,
it
folks.
It wasn't for you.
At a bit of a comedy bit, but it's just, I lost confidence because he stared at me funny. Okay, tonight, Saturday, Dolan's Warehouse, January the 9th. Oliver has very piercing eyes. He's quite scary looking. Have you thought about going into politics, Oliver?
No.
I haven't. I won't.
Not at the present time.
Not at the present time.
Unless there's a vacancy.
Yeah, yeah.
All the usual. Yeah, going forward.
Going forward.
I have a job of work to do at the minute.
Oh, God.
Where I am at the current time. But we'll have a look at everything in the fullness of fullness.
And the rule of three, where you say three words when one is...
First of all.
No, you say, well, I'm excited. I'm delighted. And I'm happy. Like, why can't you just say one word? Because I really want to let you know that they're all over the situation. I'm saddened. I'm disgusted. And I'm unhappy.
Any sign of you back on the TV is this question.
Well, the great thing is TV, I mean, I'm not saying it's unimportant, but it's nowhere as important as it used to be. And so thank God for social media, because I can sell tickets. And it is revolutionary. And, you know, I have a connection with my audience. But I'm not saying, like, you know, radio is important, but it's not as you're not, I'm saying to you, Oliver. Oliver, you
radio
are important,
is not important,
but you're not as important as you used to be.
I'm telling you, radio is important.
No, it's important.
It's very valuable. it's essential going forward.
It's essential. it's an essential part of Irish society. Anyway, so that's the crack, Oliver. And, you know, thanks very much for having me on your show.
Delighted to have you.
Thanks very much. I should really be talking to Joe Duffy about the occasion.
Yes, Joe, we could have talked about Joe because he's gone now. We can't offend him. See, he's...
Ah, yeah. He's...
Is that the most watched stuff, the Joe Duffy sketches from The Savage Eye on your...
Well,
Instagram.
A lot of those sketches. There was one recently where it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the "Who's your father?" And that one went all over TikTok, you know, whatever.
Joe should be delighted. He's still relevant. We're still talking about him.
Oh, no, he didn't like my depiction of him.
There's a nice message here.
But he's culturally significant enough. He should
there
be happy.
Go. There's the compliment. I met David first in Copenhagen in the late 90s, then bumped into him with my son about 8 years ago on South Ann Street in the shadows. Awesome guy. Hilarious. All the best for the new tour. And that's from Deo. And the new tour is all the details on on David's comedy and awesome Instagram. There, the
and website, davidmcsavage.ie.
And so, the real Dave McSavage is the place. Ticketmaster has dates and tickets. David, thank you so much. And good luck to you now.
Good luck to you. Congratulations on your career.
Yeah, yeah. Ipso facto, let's have a break.
Email oliver@rte.ie.